The subject before us this afternoon is corrupting the covenant. We have already actually begin our study of chapter 2 of the book of Malachi. The last time we have considered from the last time right up to verse 3 of chapter 2. And we know that in the beginning, or rather this chapter, chapter 2, is particularly directed at the priest. And so we can say that actually this chapter for us in our time is directed mainly at the leaders of the church, at those who are in leadership role of whatever kind, pastors, teachers, ministers, elders, deacons, or those of us who are in the various leadership role in the church. And this is this message or this indictment from Malachi to the priest is very applicable to us, but not only to the leaders, but also to the members. And so we see here God's judgment on the priests of Israel continues as he brings these charges to them. And so the passage or the verses before us is actually a continuation of this charge that God has against the Levites for their breaking of the covenant that God has made with the Levite. And the Levite, as we know, is the tribe of the priests. In other words, or rather, the Lord in this portion is charging the priests for their sins in failing their priestly duties, and also in their personal life, unfaithfulness to their families, which we will discover later in our future study. In other words, God's judgment, when God right now is rebuking them and bringing this indictment to them, it is not a matter of God being mean or spiteful. As we see in verse 4, "And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with the Levite, saith the Lord of hosts." It is for the purpose of their benefit to discipline the priests and to restore them back to holy service. So in verses 4 to 7, we see there is an allusion. Malachi is bringing the priest back to time past. There is an allusion here that God made a covenant with the house of Levi in the past that determined the priestly line through Eleazar, the priest, because of the faithful act of Phinehas. And this account is recorded for us of Phinehas' faithfulness to God in Numbers 25 verses 10 to 30. We see here the phrase "a covenant of life and peace" in verse 5. And this refers to how Phinehas' zeal, how Phinehas' seeking to glorify the Lord has turned away God's wrath from his people. In Malachi 2:6, it is said that he, referring to Phinehas, has turned many away from sin. But more importantly here, the emphasis is Phinehas has revered God, which is the point of Malachi's exaltation in these verses. Besides that, the Levites were faithful in teaching the truth, and his conduct before God's people was uprightness. So the prophet Malachi, in bringing up the covenant and in mentioning their priestly function, their teaching role and their conduct, in verse 5 to 7, Malachi is in fact rebuking the priest for not fulfilling their part of the covenant, and that they had not only neglected their priestly duty, which is to teach God's people to keep the law, but on the contrary, the priest taught them to break the law of God and not setting an example for them to follow. So for our brief study and practical application, to draw some lesson from this passage, we can divide this portion of scripture concerning the covenant into three parts. Firstly, we want to look at the purpose of the covenant. Secondly, the performance of the covenant. Thirdly, the corruption of the covenant. Let's commence with the purpose of the covenant in verse 5. Why did God make that covenant with the Levites? Just to reward Phinehas? More than that, it is to give life and peace. My covenant was with him of life and peace. It is of life and peace not only for the priest, but for the people of God. One of the most effective lies that we know of, or that is from the devil, is that God gives us certain rules and regulations or law is to make our life miserable and to spoil our happiness. However, those who study the Bible carefully will know that the truth of the matter is just the opposite. The laws of God are designed not to destroy our happiness, not to make life difficult for us, but rather to secure our happiness. Such was the case with God's covenant with the Levites. There are many who think this way, that God set all these laws. Cannot do this, cannot do that, cannot dress like that, cannot walk like that, cannot eat like that, cannot, all the cannot. And they think that it is very restrictive. But they have got it all wrong. They have got it all wrong. By obeying it, the laws of God, from our heart, that is, they would bring both life and peace to the nation Israel, and to themselves. This is the point that God is trying to make. By disobeying, they would bring destruction and unrest. Do we not see lawlessness everywhere right now in our society where there is a rejection of God's law? Is it not true? And that is why so many people, like I said this morning, rejected the gospel, because they have misunderstood that to be a Christian means I cannot do this, I cannot do that, I have no freedom, I'm very restricted. But they have got it all wrong. It is actually in doing and keeping of the laws of God, which is for their good, is that way that they will have true happiness and joy and true liberty. The second purpose of the covenant is to produce fear of God. Besides to give them life and peace, the purpose of the covenant is to produce fear of God. To fear God. We hear this all the time. What does it mean? To fear God is to stand in awe of Him. It is to revere His person. It is to submit to God's authority. It is to dread or to hate sin. And to dread displeasing God. And this may seem to run counter to our happiness, but it is not. To fear God can be summed up as, for a believer, living in the conscious awareness of God as He had revealed Himself to us in His holiness, including living in the conscious awareness of God, including in every situation and circumstance of our life, including those situations that are so-called bad or unpleasant. The more you lovingly revere God, the more likely you are to obey. And the more you obey in submission to God's will, joyfully that is, the more happiness you will find. Next, we come to the second portion of our text in verse 6. The performance of the covenant. The performance of the covenant. This verse takes us in the past. You note the words there. The law of truth was in his mouth and iniquity was found in his lips. He walked with me. This turned many away from iniquity. So the verb there, walk, turn. It takes us to the time in which the priesthood was set up under Moses. Those priests who remained faithful after the dreadful affair of the golden calf, they responded to God with reverence and they stood in awe of him. One Bible commentator said, they had, I quote, they had a holy seriousness and deep respect towards the things of God. They knew they were engaged in business for eternity. They took great care how they behaved, leading their lives under the eye of the holy God, unquote. In particular, those priests spoke in the right way, meaning having the law of truth on their lips and refusing to speak evil, which we read in verse 6. They also behave in the right way, walking before the Lord, what? In peace and equity, also in verse 6. And they were also used of God to influence or to teach others, turning them away from iniquity. Having looked at this, the performance of the covenant, now Malachi turned to the current situation, the situation where this indictment are right now given. How they have fallen. The corruption of the covenant. This is the third heading. The corruption of the covenant, verses 7 to 9. The prophet cites four ways in which the priests were failing to measure up to their priestly covenant and duties. The first way, they had departed out of the way, verse 8. But ye are departed out of the way. This way is described, what way? The way is described in verse 7. The priests were to keep knowledge. They were to be a reservoir of the knowledge of God and were faithfully, they were to be faithfully declare the message to their brethren or to God's people. They were to be God's messenger. They were not free to devise or fashion their own message to suit their own whims or fancy, or to fit in with the times, or as we can put it in our quoting from the New Testament, they are not to fashion God's message to tickle the ears of the people. While the priests of Moses' time walked this path, the priests of Malachi's era were strange. The people could not come to them for them, referring to the priest, for the word of God. We might think of the truth of God as rain from heaven. The priests were to be systems to receive it and to store it, but instead they were more like pitch roofs that sheds and let the rainwater run off. Or if they were systems at all, they were cracked systems, as Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 2 verse 13, and could not retain the truth. As a result of this, of their neglect, the word of God was then lost. for us in our days. What is the state of affairs in our church today? Is the current group of preachers, pastors, elders, deacons, teachers more like those of Moses' era or Malachi? When people come to church these days, are they hearing sermons that faithfully declare the word of God? Is the system from our pulpit running dry, cracked, and the word of truth had seeped out the cracks? Brethren, what is your view? What is your assessment? If it is so, it means the preacher, the pastors, the ministers had departed from the way of the Lord. The second way the priests failed to measure up to their priestly covenant and duties is they had caused many to stumble at the law. By misinterpreting the laws of God, the priests had caused many to fall into sin. Instead of guiding the people into righteousness, they had taught in such a way as to lead them into error. But there is more than wrong teaching here. They had also lived in such a way as to encourage wrongdoing. They did not set an example for God's people. The Lord Jesus reserved some of his most stern rebuke for those who cause others to stumble. Jesus says, "But whoso offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone will hang about his neck and that he will drown in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh." Matthew 18, verse 6 to 7. Brethren, take note. Causing others to stumble is not just causing others to stumble. It also leads to division and schism in the church. And this is one sin that God hated the most. And so, to the religious leaders of his time, the Lord Jesus spoke these words: "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye, or you, neither go in yourselves, neither suffer you them that are entering to go in." Matthew 23:13. The third way the priests failed to measure up to their priestly covenant and duty is, verse 9, they had shown partiality in the law. What did they do? They endeared themselves to some high standing. The priests had downplayed or modified the demands of God's law. And we know this in our times. Pastors and ministers today are certainly not beyond this temptation, just to please the people and just to make the people happy, and using this way, downplaying the gospel, modify the demands of God just to attract people to come into the church. The fourth way that the priests fail to measure up to their priestly covenant and duties is they had corrupted the covenant of Levi, verse 8 to 9. By their failures, the priests of Israel had spoiled or ruined the very covenant that was intended to bring life and peace, to bring salvation. They had failed to live up to their part of the agreement or the covenant. Such failure, God could not and would not ignore. His judgment was already at work in this way. The priest had lost standing in the eyes of the people. Therefore, verse 9, have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. Brethren, we cannot conclude this brief study without seriously considering Malachi's scalding and blistering assessment of the priests, and without gratefully recalling a priest at the other end of the scale. Who is that priest? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ performed perfectly in every area which the priests of Malachi's generation failed. Jesus never departed from the path of obedience to God. We know this in 1 John 1:19, or rather in 1 Peter 1:19, in 1 John 3:5. Jesus never misrepresented the truth of God in word or in deed, and never misled anyone in spiritual matters. Jesus did not preach health and wealth gospel so as to draw the people in. He never compromised the truth in order to curry favor with the rich and the powerful. Jesus in no way corrupted the covenant God had made with those in the priestly office. Brethren, you who are in Christ, if you are a believer, you ought to give thanks to God and to praise God that the Lord Jesus had perfectly discharged the office of high priest on our behalf. Therefore, we can rest assured that the sacrifice Jesus offered of himself for sinners has been accepted by God. All praise and thanks be to God for sending his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be our Savior, our resurrected Savior, our High Priest, and who is right now still fulfilling the role of the High Priest, how? In heaven, by interceding for us, his people. Believers, therefore, can also rest assured that he has been received by God, the Father in heaven, and he is there right now to make intercession for all who believe. Hebrews 7:25-27. And not only to make intercession for the believers, but also to sympathize lovingly with his people. Hebrews 4:14-16. Furthermore, if you are a believer, you can be confident that he will continue to function as our high priest, because by his resurrection, he has proved that he possesses the power of an endless life or eternal life. Hebrews 7:16. A word for those who are outside of the kingdom of God, those who do not know Jesus, those who are not born again. Perhaps you think that you are a Christian. A word for you. For those who do not know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, may I invite you to come to him who holds the key of eternal life. Do not deceive yourself, my friends. As I have said this before, and I hope you will bear with me to say it once again. Coming to church, attending service, and even going right now online to hear the word of God, to be in fellowship with Christians, to do things that Christians do, does not make you a believer. Being born in a Christian family, even having your fathers as elders, deacons, or church leaders, or Sunday school teachers, does not make you a believer in Christ. And so I urge you to come by faith. Call out to Jesus. And Jesus says to those who come to him, I will in no wise cast out. John 6:37. A word for the believers, those of you who are in Christ. As you reflect upon this passage, Yes, this passage is mainly directed at the leaders of the church, but it is also applicable for you, the believers. May I request you to pray for yourself and to pray for those who are called and appointed as preachers, pastors, ministers of the gospel, that as believers, pray that we will not depart out of the way. Pray that we will not cause others to stumble at the law. Pray that we will not show partiality in the law. Pray that we will not corrupt the covenant God has made with us. And by this, I meant the call that God has given to those who are in full-time ministry. Pray that each one of us will remain faithful, committed, and true to the calling we receive from the Lord Jesus Christ to the very end by the help and an empowering of the Holy Spirit. So may the Lord help us. May the Lord write His word upon our hearts to take heed. Is it possible for a believer to slide and to fall into such spiritual decadency? Yes, very possible. Just as we see in the book of Malachi. And later on in our further study, you will see more and more of the deplorable state of the priesthood and of the people of God in the chapter that follows. So let us pray. Oh, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we pray that you will help us to take this warning very, very seriously and carefully. Help us to realize how weak we are, that it is very possible and very often fall into such a state of spiritual decline, a state of indifference, a state of just going through the motion, the state of just coming to church for the sake of coming, the state of just reading your word because I have to read the word, the state of just trying to ease my conscience. And so I pray, but there is no life, no zeal in our hearts. We are just going through the motion. Oh, gracious, loving Father, may Thou help us to take heed. May Your Spirit continue to work in our hearts and reveal to us wherein we have fallen short, and help us to repent, that Thou will forgive us of our sin, forgive us for our spirits of apathy, indifference, that we go about our worship and our service to You perfunctorily. Oh Lord, we pray that Thou will put in our hearts that zeal, that godly fervor for Thee out of our love for You. Help us to remember Calvary. May Your love shown on Calvary constrain us to love You in return by keeping Your commandments and doing Your will and living our lives each day with the help and an empowering of the Holy Spirit for Your glory, for the advancement of Your kingdom, for Your name, so that others, Lord, may truly see Christ in us and glorify our Father in heaven, and that they may be drawn to Thee for salvation. So help us, O Lord, we pray and plead in this new week. Help especially those who are discouraged. Help especially those who are weak. Help especially those who are sorrowing and bereaved. We once again pray for Your comfort upon our sister Janet Pearson and others, Lord, who may be going through a time of bereavement. We think also of an elder in Singapore on the passing away of his mother. We ask that you'll be gracious and merciful. And perhaps, Lord, there are others, Lord, who are troubled, downcast, because of the death of a loved one. We ask that you'll be gracious and merciful to comfort, to draw nigh, to give grace. And Lord, for the rest of us, help us in this new week not to forget thee, but to diligently seek after you while you may be found. Hear this our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.